Greetings and welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. As you can see, I am not Pastor Peter. He is much better looking than I am. However, it is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. We are pleased and honored to have as our guest preacher this morning, Jeff Rainwater, seated right here to my left. He is the superintendent of congregational and community vitality in our conference here, the Mountain Sky Conference, part of the staff, but now he lives in North Denver. So he is our guest preacher this morning, and let's give him a Burns welcome. Thank you, Jeff, for being here with us. On the back of our bulletin, we can see the week's calendar, the prayer requests. And are there any other announcements not listed in the bulletin for the good of the order? Okay, we've got one here. Deb Gunther.
Thank you. I just wanted to let everyone know we did very well at Just Grill for the crop fundraiser. We made $300. The next crop fundraiser will be September 20th at Sabor Mexican Grill on Sable and Alameda, approximately, that September 20th. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ms. Sandy Tinney?
I would like prayers for my son, Don. He's been having a problem with high blood pressure, and he spent 2 days in the hospital last week.
Okay. Prayers for Don. Any other announcements for the good of the order? If not, I would ask that you please rise as Rich leads us in our call to worship.
Join me in the responsive call to worship. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. In the wonder of the creation around us, in the wonder of the family all around us, in the wonder of this church, in the wonder of the prosperity all around us, in the wonder of God all around us, we give our deepest thanks. God is good. And now we can join me in the hymn, which I understand is up on the screen.
Yeah, the words should be printed on the screen, and just follow along.
True-hearted, whole-hearted, faithful and loyal, King of our lives, by thy grace we will be. Under the standard exalted and royal, strong in thy strength we will battle for thee. Heal out the watchword, silence it never, song of our spirits rejoicing and free. Heal out the watchword, loyal forever, King of our lives, by thy grace we will be.
Wholehearted Savior, beloved and glorious, take thy great power and reign thou alone.
Over our wills and affections victorious, freely surrendered and wholly thine own.
Heal of the watchword,
silence it never, song of our spirits rejoicing and free. Heal of the watchword, loyal forever, King of our lives.
is King, valiant endeavor and loving obedience, freely and joyously now would we bring. Heal of the watchword, silence it never, song of our spirits rejoicing and free. Heal of the watchword, Lord, forever, King of our lives, by thy grace we will be.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson today comes from the second chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with the fourth verse. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after the worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care, see if there has been such a thing. Has the nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the foundation of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
His mercy reigns. dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
We are a giving church. And as we have been doing for the past several months, the offering plate will be left in the narthex. If you should so feel moved to give tithing, offering, the offering plate will be in the narthex. So we'll continue our worship with our unison prayer.
So friends, what prayer concerns, what joys, celebrations, needs do we have to share with one another that we may be a people of prayer together? And I saw a microphone handed around before, so I'm guessing we still do that for this. Are there prayer concerns that we have? One in the back.
I just want to take a minute to say, yeehaw, Diana. That was awesome.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Beautiful. Any others? We heard one earlier during the announcement time. Let us keep that concern in our hearts today. Very good. Then I invite you to join us in our unison prayer, found in your bulletin and on the screen. Hear us as we pray, O Lord. And gather here, O Lord, listening to your divine word and seeking your comfort. We ask comfort for the afflicted. Let them know your peace in their times of tribulation. Guide us to do your will as we work to bring justice to all your people. Let us be a model of consciousness to our world. Lord God, hear our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us take a few moments of silent prayer and meditation. This morning, O God, your voice sounds into our lives again. We are grateful to hear your call. For on many mornings we hear other voices. Voices urging us to care only about ourselves, voices urging us to serve other gods, our work, our bank accounts, our egos, our peer groups, our ideologies. By the end of the week, we feel trapped in our anxiety, our work, our spending, our need for control, and our excuses. And then we hear your voice again, calling us to your healing care, to your spacious freedom, to your giving humility. And so we come to rest and to be fed. Call us to your freeing love again. Be mindful of the thoughts of our hearts and those we have spoken aloud. Send your Spirit upon those that we have named for healing, for strength, for grace. Shine your light upon those we have named to bless and give thanks. With grateful hearts for what they have shown and given to us. Feed us now, God of our strength, even as we lift up to you in prayer the words that our Savior Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now, if you'll stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. This morning's gospel lesson can be found in the 14th chapter of Luke. When they noticed how many guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a banquet, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now remain standing for the hymn. I forgot what it is.
All those
be seated.
Good morning, church. It is a joy to be with you today. The last time I was here, as I'll say in my sermon, we were having a party downstairs. It was the Tongan Relief Dinner, celebration, banquet, all of those wrapped in one, and it was a joy. I am Jeff Rainwater. My title is Superintendent of Congregational and Community Vitality, which is a really lot to say. I actually had a small part in choosing that title before I owned it, and I've regretted it ever since. It's just too much to say. But what that means is that I am on conference staff to serve all 368 churches of our conference to offer resources and connections for vital ministries, and also to help us plant new faith communities all across our four states, plus that one little county in Idaho. And it's a joy to be with you. Would you pray with and for me, please, in a moment of silent prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When you are invited to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor. Instead, sit at the lowest place. What a joy it is to be with you here today. It is poetic somehow that this text comes up when I am here to visit you, because as I mentioned the last time I was here, we were having a party. We were having a banquet. We were having a celebration. It was the Tongan Relief Dinner held downstairs, and oh, what a beautiful gathering it was. A generosity of hearts and spirits that even though we were about serious work, the joy exhibited, well, it was remarkable. I say it's poetic for this lesson to be ours for this day. It's also ironic because I am here, standing here, ready to bring you a word, and yet I am humbled by the experience of my time here before. And I'm humbled to be here today. And I wonder, who am I really to presume to teach you about hospitality and sitting in the right place and experiencing grace, when I really suspect many among you have so much more you could teach me? Know your place. Now, I really have a sense that Jesus is saying more than that here, but if that's kind of the button that was pushed for you when you heard Jesus' words, let me tell you, I get it. First of all, some of us, certainly myself included, have had places of privilege most of our lives because of whom we know, what we look like, what gender we are. And many of us, it's hard to imagine giving that up, even with the hopes of it being returned. It isn't easy. When Jesus touches upon our privilege in such ways, and it's even more difficult when his words touch our insecurities. You know, I hear his advice on the seating chart of life, and I'm instantly taken back to sitting at the kids' table for the family celebration. Anybody remember those days, right? Yes, got a few. Sitting at the kids' table there. See, I'm the child of two youngest children. So I am quite literally the youngest of my generation on both sides of the family. I have dozens and dozens of cousins on my dad's side, and I'm the youngest there. I have a few on my mom's side, and I'm the youngest there. And so the kids' table, well, that was my realm. That was my world, which was, you know, really okay. It was pretty good until my older cousins started having cousins of their own, right? Until they started having children, and still I was stuck at the kids' table. And so here I was. I was too young to be with the adults, and I was too old to fit in with my younger cousins. And all I could feel was this deep anxiety of, will I ever fit in? Will I ever fit in and belong? Oh, how I wanted to be promoted to that adult table. But I didn't know how. Know your place. It's not just about family gatherings either. How many of us remember the high school lunchroom? The high school lunchroom, right? The end table, the popular table, the jock table, the sports guy table, the nerd table. Again, my realm in life, let me tell you, right there. The nerd table. Need I go on? We've all felt it. We've all felt it. Wondering how we will fit in, how will we belong. And even when we're at the end table, we worry about getting kicked out, losing our place. That's kind of where we are in the beginning of this passage in Luke's gospel, where Jesus comes to a banquet and then he starts being the rudest guest possible to inform his guests, all the companions around him, that they're all doing it wrong. He starts calling all of that social hierarchy into question. At first, he starts talking in what really just sounds like good advice, right? Know your place. Know your place. Don't shoot for above your station. Take the low seat, and perhaps the host will come and invite you to a higher one to show you your place. But is that all that Jesus is saying here? Just some good common sense table etiquette? Well, we get a hint, no. We get a hint that there is more when he concludes his polite advice with, "And all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." You see, if we've been paying attention, we've heard words like that before. Jesus is talking about kingdom stuff here. He's describing what God's world will be like when all is set right and true. But then it really starts to get good when Jesus turns from the guests. He turns from all those who have been invited to this table, and he turns to the host of the party. And he asks, "Why all these folk? Why all of these? Why did you invite them? Where are the others? Where are the people without money, without fame, without fortune, without status? Where are they? Where are the people that are hurting, that are down on their luck, that are out of time?" And then he says, "Don't invite those who can repay you. Don't invite those who can repay you. Invite instead the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you." You will be blessed because they cannot repay you. And you see, here Jesus tosses out all of it. All of it. He tosses out all of our jockeying for position and privilege. He tosses out all the norms that we have used to rank ourselves and gain advantage or security. He tosses out the whole quid pro quo system that we play in our heads, asking, if I do this, what might I get in return? If I do that, what might come my way? He tosses it all out on its head. And let's be real. That's a game we know how to play. It's a game we're used to. It is so easy for us to get in the quid pro quo game that Jesus abhors, even in church. And I'm not talking about what can happen within some churches, the social politics, the game of who is in and who is out, just like that high school lunchroom. That can happen within a church, any church really, and it happens more often than we like. But that's not really what I'm talking about. You see, as you can imagine, I travel all across our conference visiting churches. You were about the eighth church this summer alone that I've had the privilege to preach to. And because it's my job, it's actually literally my job to go in and ask, what do you need? Well, I do. I go in and ask, what do you need? And here's what I get back. Let me tell you what I hear repeatedly, and you can tell me if you've heard this too. Well, what we really need is younger people. Ever heard that? That hadn't been said here, has it? That's never been said in this church. I can almost guarantee it. No. Right? We want to attract youth. We need children. We need families with kids to come to church. Ever heard that? Of course you have. Ever said that? Maybe so. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting that. But here's the question I always ask in response. Well, why? Why do you want younger people? Why do you want kids? Why do you want young families with kids? Why do you think you need youth? Do you know what I hear back most of the time? So we can grow. Okay, so we can be the church that we remember. Okay, so we won't die. Okay, and I get that. I get that. And yet, that is the same quid pro quo game that Jesus warned the guests about. Because did you see it? Did you hear it? So we can, so we will have, so we. Even in the language of what we say, it's all about us. It's not about the people we want to reach at all. Now I get it. It's hard. It's hard times when a church is having a hard time paying the bills and when we don't have the volunteers we used to in order to carry out the good work that we have. When we get anxious about keeping up our beautiful spaces. When we get anxious just about surviving. We get downright scared, to be honest. And let me tell you, fear can do terrible things to us. Fear can do terrible things to us. Fear can turn us in on ourselves and make survival the only thing we care about. Fear can make us lose sight of the people we are called to serve and what they might actually need from us. Fear can make us lose sight of our very purpose, to bless others, to bless each other, certainly, but to bless others, to bless our community, to bless our world. And so let us stop counting. Let us stop counting and let us start thinking about what, and let us stop thinking about what others can do for us and be about the work of blessing them. And in order to do that, let me suggest a practice, an exercise, an experiment. I actually forgot them, so I want you to imagine I have 5 pennies in my hand, all right? 5 pennies. I want you to go home. I want you to find 5 pennies. And I want you to bring those 5 pennies to church every single Sunday. Or if you're online watching us, and by the way, I haven't greeted our folks online, welcome to worship. It's good to have you. We're glad you're joining us in this way. But if you're home, find those 5 pennies. Or if you're going home, find those 5 pennies and bring them back to church on Sunday. And I want you to take those 5 pennies and I want you to put them in your left pocket. All right? And there they will stay. And if you don't do pockets, because, well, that's not what you do, then find something that you carry around with you every single day and put those 5 pennies in it on one side or another. Now, here's what I want you to do with those 5 pennies. Sometime this week, I promise you, sometime this week, if you are looking for it, you will have an opportunity to bless 5 people that aren't a part of your family, that aren't a part of this church. If you are looking for the opportunity, you will find it. And you will remember this idea every time you put your hand in your pocket and you feel those 5 pennies. And you will look for those opportunities, and I hope you take them. And maybe it is the smallest of things. Maybe it is offering an encouraging word to the grocery store teller who looks like she is exhausted and has just had every bit of 100 people before you yell at her for doing something wrong. Give her an encouraging word. Have a meaningful conversation with a coworker or a neighbor who seems to be down and struggling. Lend a helping hand. Buy someone a cup of coffee. Do something to bless 5 people, and every time you bless a person, take one of those pennies out of your left pocket and put it into your right pocket. And when you come to church next Sunday, see how many are in your right pocket. Now, here's what's going to happen if you do this. First, at some point, it may not be in that first 5, it may not even be in that first 25, but sometime, one of those people you bless will ask, "What's up? Why are you being so nice to me? Why are you doing this?" And I would be grateful if you said this: "My church blessed me so much this week. It felt so good, I wanted to bless someone else." I'd be grateful if you said that. Because you know what? Some of those people you blessed may just start showing up. And if you gift the world enough without ever thinking what's in it for you, something will happen. people will want to be a part of that. They may want more blessings in their life, of course, but they'll also want to feel what you're feeling. So they may start showing up. Scared at first, curious next, and then perhaps all in. And when they do show up, please help them know their place. Not at the bottom, not as a servant to help you have your church the way you remember. Help them find their place of honor, their place at the top, so that they know their place, that their place is here. Not for what they can bring, not for what they do, but simply because they are a beloved child of God. Beloved children of God, just like you. Right now, some of you may wonder, do I belong? Do I have a place here? Do I have a place anywhere? Yes, you do. You are a beloved child of God. You know, eventually, I did get promoted. I got promoted from the kids' table, even in my family. I got to sit with the adults, which was excellent and beautiful. And yet at every gathering afterwards, I would look back at the kids' table with just a little longing, just a little loss, because you know what? There was a lot of laughter there. There was a lot of silliness and a whole lot of fun. So when I get to heaven, whenever that is, I'm going to look for that kids' table again. I'm going to look for that kids' table again, where the smallest are, the most vulnerable are, where the left out and the lost are. I'm going to look for that kids' table again, and I'm going to sit down. And you know why, don't you? Because that's where Jesus will be sitting. Because that's where Jesus has always been sitting. And may it be so with us, church. May it be so in this time and this place with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, family, the table has been set. Let us rise and lift our voice in praise in our closing hymn, item number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Our guilt, yonder on Calvary.
Church, this is what I know. You have been blessed. You are blessed now with all you need. Go to be a blessing for others. Go as disciples of Christ. And as you go, may God go before you to show you the way. May God be beneath you to lift you up, beside you to be your friend, and inside of you to give you peace. Amen.